I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good afternoon. It's 3:30 at KSL News Radio. Jeff Kaplan here. We have a mostly cloudy sky. 74 degrees, KSL's top story.
Severe Utah weather.
One person is dead in Emery County after last night's flash flooding. A worker at the Gentry Mountain Mine was swept away by a wall of water. Our team coverage begins. Here's KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson.
Investigators say there were three mining vehicles that were hit by the flash flood, and the driver of the third tried to put the Mantrip in reverse, but the workers realized they wouldn't make it out in time. Emery County Sheriff spokesperson Jana Lee Luke says they climbed to the top of a berm, but one man lost his footing.
He slipped down into the side that had the deepest water.
She says his body was recovered about 6 miles downstream. Huntington Mayor Leonard Norton says this was a weather disaster, not a mining disaster, but it's hitting the town hard.
Opens old wounds. Of old disasters.
Officials say another man in a different vehicle was rushed to the hospital, but he is expected to recover. Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
The cleanup continues in Salt Lake. City workers are mopping up floodwater debris. We asked two workers on cleanup patrol if they've seen anything like this before.
Yeah, a couple years ago when we had about the same thing happen.
Yeah. Yeah, then when we had that wind, you know, blew all the trees down.
Well, we had that, and we also had another flood issue. Yeah. Where it basically washed out Harley Way all along down to 2300 East.
And Sprague Library flooded that year, I think, too.
Yeah, you're right.
A couple of guys have seen it all before, Jerry Tucker and Richard Archuleta shoveling out storm drains so the street sweepers could roll through in Salt Lake. Bountiful has seen flooding before, and that's why the community was ready for last night's deluge. A massive mudslide back in 1983 damaged hundreds of homes there. Since then, Bountiful has been working to minimize flood hazards. Severe Utah weather, KSL News Radio's Dan Bomas continues. Our team coverage.
Bountiful City built retention basins in hillside neighborhoods and lined Mill Creek, Barton Creek, and Stone Creek with concrete to keep debris from blocking the channels. City engineer Lloyd Cheney says there's no doubt those flood control measures helped to avoid a worse situation with yesterday's heavy rain.
Last night, 3 inches of rain did cause some flooding near Dry Creek in Bountiful. About 8 homes were affected. Primary Children's Hospital is recovering from overnight flooding. The west side of the building was affected, and patients over there had to be moved. The hospital tells KSL non-emergency surgeries were canceled today, but they'll resume tomorrow. The hospital remains open if you need to go to Primary Children's. The flooding is being blamed on temporary roof drains getting overwhelmed from all the rain. KSL News Time 3:33. The large amounts of rainfall have led to flooding across the state, but is it making a dent in Utah's drought? Team coverage continues.
We're in a monsoonal period, something Utah hasn't really had the last couple years. While we are seeing a lot of precipitation leading to flash flooding in some areas, those pockets of heavy rain are isolated. For example, the airport recorded 0.18 of an inch yesterday, but the East Bench received 1.5 inches during the same period.
This intense rainfall can be highly localized. It's not necessarily widespread.
National Weather Service hydrologist Glenn Merrill says the recent rain is helping the soil, and it's reducing demand on the state's water supply. But is it enough to pull us from the drought?
You have to step back and look at it. 99% of the state is still under extreme or exceptional drought.
Merrill says what will help us is a heavy winter, and it might take a few of them. Nick Wyatt, KSL News Radio.
It's now easier for vaccinated Americans to travel to the UK. Maria Chaleos is live at the KSL National News Desk.
Jeff, travelers are excited to hear United Airlines is adding 40 additional flights per week to the UK.
We're very excited.
Tremendously excited, of course.
And we've been waiting for this moment for quite a long time.
While United is adding flights, Spirit Airlines is canceling them. Spirit today abruptly canceled dozens of flights. In Philadelphia, around a dozen flights were canceled or moved, inconveniencing passengers like Joe Goldberg.
We were in Fort Myers to fly back to Atlantic City International. Something must have happened with Spirit, and it was like all hell broke loose.
A Spirit spokesperson calls it a perfect storm of weather, staffing shortages, and crews reaching their shift limits that created a company-wide operational meltdown. Debate on a 2,700-page infrastructure bill is set to begin this week in the Senate. Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says he's looking forward to it.
Our colleague's draft text provides a good and important jumping-off point for what needs to be a robust and bipartisan process.
Members of both parties have said they support a robust debate. And the governor of Illinois has signed new legislation to combat gun violence. Governor J.B. Pritzker says there will now be universal background checks on all gun sales.
I wish we didn't live in a world where lives could be so thoughtlessly and easily stolen. But today, Illinois is putting policy into force that will save lives.
The bill also provides mental health funding and creates a stolen gun database. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Maria Chaleos, KSL News Radio.
KSL News Time 3:35. Let's check in with Ricky Meese. I noticed we've seen a little bit of rain here and there this afternoon. Is it affecting things?
So far, no. We haven't had enough moisture, especially widespread, that it's slowing down any traffic. What is left over from the earlier rainfall this morning is the closure of that ramp from the west belt to go westbound on I-80. It's only on the northbound side. It's still not expected to reopen until about 4 o'clock. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Thank you, Ricky. Coming up, the Olympic athlete who can't go home. My minute's on the way. Next.
Your daytime companions.
Removing the stoplights from Bangor.
Don't tease me.
Do you not wonder sometimes, like, if you'll ever get home?
How do we spend what money we do spend wisely, effectively?
KSL has news all morning.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.